This is Rapholix After Hours.
Welcome, one and all, to episode 106 of Rack Addicts After Hours, where we definitely don't mention the Roland Juno 106 apart from in this second sentence of the show. You're listening to Ben, Peter's here as well, and we're going to talk things into your ears via the medium of the internet, I assume. How are you doing, Pete? What have you been up to?
Not too bad. My sniffles have departed.
Good news.
So I'm starting to feel a bit more human. And I've completely finished the modular case. The black modular system is 100% complete.
Delicious. Any finalized names? The Obsidian or something that was suggested, potentially?
I'm going to leave those alterations for later.
Cool.
Got it all together now. It all functions. The new power supply has gone in and cured my modules not initializing properly.
Yes.
So it's all good.
Did it just drop straight in, same screw holes as you predicted?
Pretty much. I had to sort of jiggle it around a bit. They were sort of slight, sort of half millimeter out.
Oh,
and the tolerances are quite tight, so I had to fiddle around a bit, but essentially, yes.
Nice. Minimal interference needed. It looks as swish as it ever did. Do you need more patch cables? Is that it?
I have ordered more patch cables, and in fact, I was going to talk to you about patch cables.
Ooh.
So what are your feelings about patch cables? Have you got any?
I'm relatively picky. I still have quite a selection of the Bofaco ones, which are fine. I think I might have had some Erica Synths ones. I've definitely had an experience with a patch cable and gone, oh yeah, That's the stuff. And I will endeavour to find those cables if I can.
Well, my experience of cables started out right at the beginning of my modular journey, I would like to say 8 to 9 years ago. And the first cables that I ordered, because they looked really inexpensive, but unfortunately I was somewhat disappointed when they arrived, were the Dofer cables.
I had some of the short yellow ones and they...
There's one
there
for
you. Oh, that's familiar. Nope, no thanks. They have those little dots on the jack. And nah,
yeah, they are
take
a little bit...
No, gross.
A little bit puny, to say the least.
Flimsy and sad.
So after that, I got some stackables, and everyone likes stackables. Although they can be a bit too sort of chunky around the jack end.
Yeah, I had a couple of the yellow ones that were pretty dodgy, and it was always the yellow ones in terms of, you know, sometimes if you have to hold a cable at a certain angle.
And
one of those.
Bit of a faulty batch or something like that. And then the next ones that I've used for quite a number of years and always found were very good were the IntelliGel cables.
I never encountered these. Oh, actually, no, I did. In the shop, I think. Something very similar to these. Yeah.
I think the Moog
decent,
ones
heavier
can be
cable.
Similar in there.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's what I'm thinking of. I think my top of the stack of patch cables were the ALM Busy Circuits branded ones. Don't know who makes them, but they were really nice because the barrel connectory, the plastic shielding bit just after the connector was relatively slim and it was kind of wavy, so it gave a good grip and it was kind of a thick cable. Very satisfying, not too expensive, but they were good. Got those from Rubber Dub, I think.
Excellent. Well, more recently when I was building this case, the cables that I have subsequently, I wouldn't say fallen in love with, but I'm very keen on, are from a supplier in Holland. And that company is called...
He'll scroll and find them eventually.
That company is called Scape Sound.
One word?
Yes.
Nice.
And they list their stuff on eBay and on Amazon and also on their own website. And this is an example of one of their cables.
Ooh. Yep. No, I can see why. Very nice.
And they're shielded as well.
Oh, lovely. Ooh, teeny little logo.
Very nice. You can get
reassuring.
Them and in a multitude of colours. In the case of the black case, obviously, they're all black.
All black, yeah.
But they have whites and quite a number of other colours to choose from. But recently, when I ordered the power supply for the case, the upgraded 2000 milliwatt power supply, thought I need to get the order up to more than £150 to benefit from the free delivery.
Know that feeling.
And so the cables that were in stock with the supplier I bought the power supply from had some Erica synths, and they look quite reasonable in the photographs, but alas, when they arrived, they weren't quite...
Better than Dopefer.
Yeah, but not as good as IntelliGel. And certainly not as good as the Scape Sound ones.
Yeah, an interesting tactile experience.
Yes, I'm assuming they're not screened at all in any way.
Probably not with that thickness of cable.
So even though I ordered 3 packets of 5 in various lengths, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. I've now ordered a whole load more from Scape Sounds so that I have the similar quality throughout the system.
Overflowing with patch cables.
Yep, I certainly have a lot now.
What are these right-angled boyos?
They came from Signal Sound in Bristol. They were individually relatively expensive, but I thought I'd give them a try.
And yeah,
I'm noticing quite a few modular YouTubers using right-angled or dog-leg patch cables, most probably to kind of reduce the impact or to have a better design, possibly.
Yeah, I think the first brand that sort of did the rounds, got themselves into the hands of the Div Kids and the Mylar Melodies, was probably Tendrils. But they're really thin, so they feel kind of flimsy, but they're quite good for, well, I think they were designed to be used in, this is a performance case, patch the stuff that will always remain patched and leave it there forever.
Yeah, and that was the sort of idea I was thinking of those particular cables. There are certain routes that in a system that you're never really going to unplug unless you remove those particular modules.
Yeah, a few mixing bits and sequencing stuff.
And primary signal paths and so forth. So apart from that, the ones I don't particularly like, and this is just a personal preference, I don't like the braided cables.
No, I've not enjoyed one. There were, I think it's the, who are they? Who's the brand on your entire top row?
You've got me there. No, it's Pittsburgh Modular.
Pittsburgh, yes. I think they had some that they called Nazca Noodles, which are really thick braided ones, but in there.
Yeah, that's a third party. That's not them. I think they were just
selling,
teaming up, because I've seen those sold elsewhere. And I've got some braided ones that I got free with an Arturia keystone.
Oh yeah, no, and those and the Roland ones are really thin and spidery feeling.
Yeah, don't feel great.
Nope, not about those.
So yeah, I'm fully up with my cables.
You're quite a connoisseur of cables. Amazing. Have you had a noodle with it all running?
Yeah, I mean it's going well. I need to really now sit down and program the ground control fully for a performance.
Oh, there is a software update for you, I believe.
Yes, I've got to do that as well.
Nice.
But other than that, it's taken quite some time. I don't know how long, 6 months to get it all completely together.
Yeah.
But it's done.
I just love the finish of the special paint. It's so good.
It has come out quite well, hasn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
It's one of those things I find quite often when you're putting painted surfaces or applying coatings or something like that, you know, it never looks that great when you're applying it when it's still wet. But, you know, invariably these things dry and then you can really see what they're going to actually look like. And I'm really pleased the way that turned out.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't quite look like it's been wrapped in...
like Tolex or
something. Tolex or some sort of vinyl, but it's almost as good.
Yeah, maybe if you did another coat, but then it might start interfering with some of your hardware, might get a bit of a faff.
No, I'm going to leave it as is. I'll only apply any more coatings if this case particularly gets abused and starts showing wear, and then I'll consider doing a recoat, which will bring it back up to this sort of level.
Looks super swish. Delightful. I have news of the sourdough variety. I've made a loaf. My partner found a no-knead recipe. Kneading as in the squishing around with your hands kneading, because they tend to be really, really sticky when they're still doughs. And I have a bit of a thing with really sticky doughs. They are infuriating because you can't get them off your hands.
Know the feeling.
And you want to put it in the bowl to prove or whatever, and half of it's still on your fists. So that was cool. It went well. I think when we were first talking about sourdough, we mentioned the phrase open crumb.
Yes.
I didn't have an open crumb, so there is troubleshooting to do. It tasted fine, but it didn't look quite the part, but flavoursome enough. Now, an extra sourdough thing, this from one of my partner's Instagram followers, bit of a life hack for us sourdough fans. Pete, have you ever heard of a fiddle bow knife?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of what it sounds like. It is a knife shaped like a fiddle bow or a violin bow, designed purely and simply for cutting sourdough. And I have ordered one, and I'm very excited. I'll bring it along when it turns up, because it's interesting. Let me show you. That's the situation. So it's got kind of a saw blade kind of thing, and the what would be sort of the spine of the blade actually goes off to the side. Very difficult to describe. But Google it, fiddle bow knife.
Looks a bit like one of those junior hacksaws.
It does, but it's sideways instead of the vertical kind of ones. But yeah, it's a junior hacksaw for sourdough.
Well, with hacksaws, you can turn the blade sideways.
Of course you can. Yes, good point. And yeah, it's got quite a fancy blade on it, apparently. But there are several demonstration videos that show how superior it will be to normal bread knives. And my bread knife is really, really bad.
So what's the advantage of such a knife?
It's going to be the special blade, which is it forged? No, it's not going to be forged. But let me find the bit on the website. They talk about the blade because apparently it's special. So much, much sharper than what you'd typically find.
Is it serrated?
It is serrated. There's the thing. Handmade in Lincolnshire. I think I ordered one made out of oak.
And what does one of these articles cost you?
Surprisingly little. Mine was £26 and £4 of that was shipping.
And do I need one of these as I may
We'll find out. So if you've got sourdough here when I bring it over, you can give it a test drive. Right, where's the thing?
I didn't really think that sourdough was any more resistant to cutting than any other type of bread.
It has been in my experience. And I mean, our bread knife is so bad it struggles to cut a bagel neatly, but it really can't get through really crusty sourdough. It's an absolute nightmare. So the blade is high grade carbon steel and Teflon coated, and it's just held in place by two screws on either end, much like a junior hacksaw. Time will tell, and you'll see for yourself if it is superior. But we needed a bread knife that actually functions and cuts things, so there we are. Ordered one. I'm quite excited about such a thing.
Yeah, I'll be intrigued to see how it performs.
You can also buy from the same piece of wood that they make your knife out of, because they're made to order, I believe, a lame or a handle lame, which it took me a while to figure out what it is. It's actually for attaching a regular, you know, those disposable razor blades that you snap in half, that kind of safety razor style thing.
Yep.
Attach one of those for the scoring of sourdough or other loaves, which is extra, as the kids might say these days. I didn't buy one, but I'm excited about my special knife. Hooray! If nothing else, it'll be a bit of a conversation piece.
It already has been.
It has been indeed, and it's on the internet for all to hear. Now, there is news on the internet, Matron, about the synthy stuff. Remember some episodes back when I was complaining about the Teenage Engineering modular stuff that they'd done a final production run of?
Yes.
There is a company called Oddvolt who may have solved the problem of having a strange yellow contraption that doesn't quite integrate with any of your modular sitting somewhere unloved. You can now buy PCB material adapter panels and power adapter dongle things to remove the modules from their strange yellow enclosure and put them into your Eurorack case. The full kit for the yellow set of modules is 14 separate panels, PCB material. They look quite fancy, but place your bets on the price. That's the kind of look there.
I'm thinking expensive.
It seems so. So what do you reckon?
Let's not go too strong. Let's say £150.
It's more than that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It is expensive.
Potentially short runs.
Considering you've already spent all that money on the...
Yeah, £400, £500, £600. I can't remember.
£300.
€200.
Okay.
So it's a lot. That's €15 per panel, and some of them are about 4 HP wide. Yeah.
And they don't look like they're made of aluminium. They look like they're...
No, PCB material with the nice etching. I quite like the look of it, but they don't feel too premium a lot of the time.
But I thought the whole point of the Teenage Engineering system is that it had that unique design. I'm not sure how many they actually sold, to be honest.
Mm, yeah, who knows? I'd like to look at the numbers.
Don't recall selling any in the shop and we...
No, I never did. I remember one of the managers asking, should we get one of these on display? And I immediately said, absolutely not. Partly because you then can't really sell them again without losing a lot of money, because half the point is you kind of fold it and build it yourself.
Yeah, and they're also particularly difficult to repack.
Oh, yeah.
Once they've been unpacked, the Teenage Engineering packaging doesn't lend itself to be...
Yeah, and because they arrive flat-packed, this one you'd have to just find a new box for. That's all you could do. Nightmare. Anyway, I've done far too much complaining about that one, but here's something cool. You have an ST Modular module.
Yes.
ST Modular are pretty cool. They they have a module, which I think they're German, or certainly a Germanic country, so I think it's called Lange Anna, or Long Anne, maybe. It is, well, maybe you'll recognise it, the long one.
It's not ringing any bells.
No. Well, it looks and is probably inspired by, and to serve the vague purpose of, the make noise central bit to the CV bus case. So it's got your intertwined buffered multiples, and I think it has some attenuators on there, potentially. Yes, you have some attenuators for offset voltages, and it's got the really fancy multicolored LEDs to show you signal strength and polarity. So if you really wanted a CV bus case in 84 HP, but you couldn't find one, or for some other reason you didn't want it, ST Modular has your back. It does look really nice, and potentially quite useful if you want that kind of thing. ST Modular, Lange Anna. Now, further, the last part of synth news that we have for you this week, I don't think we've mentioned it because we haven't yet made a jingle for What's Behringer Done Now? This will be the Syncussion. Were you aware they were doing a Syncussion clone?
No, I wasn't. To be honest, I've lost all interest in not keeping up with what Behringer doing at the moment.
Yes, indeed. Well, they've decided to make a Syncussion for some reason.
Well, I think that's just furthering their mission to reproduce
everything
that ever existed in the synth world.
Yes, indeed. Well, apparently it's ready to go into production, but alas, it has been hit by the great chip shortage, as so many things have. So as usual, who knows when we'll see it, but I don't know that anybody really cares. Although, here's something. There's so many in that kind of format. It's that same, like the Neutron width, the wider desktop Eurorack compatible chassis. There's probably some people out there that just buy all of them and they're kind of a completionist situation.
Just want the set.
Yeah, maybe that's all they'll sell. Have you ever heard anything and gone, oh yes, it's got a Syncussion in it. I love the Syncussion.
Not that I can think of.
I can't think of anything at all. I remember, because it was made by Pearl, a drum company, it was designed to be used with kind of fancy trigger pads, and there is a really good video from Alex Ball about it. But no, I can't think of any hits that it's on. I'm sure there are some, but none are springing to mind. Now, Pete raises his hand. He has a point and things to say about stuff.
It's a bit of an update. Ooh. Last week, our Synthy News was about the collaborations between Erica Synth and Maurice Klein.
Ah, yes, indeed.
And we were discussing the interesting aspect of studying the documentation and learning all about the intricacies of how analog synths work down to the component level.
Yes, indeed.
And so I have produced this.
Oh, he's holding water. Let me move that. What am I looking at here? Oh, is that it? Oh, amazing. In real hard format. There it is. Oh, wow. It's so much more exciting when it's in on paper, in your hands.
And if you want that copy, you're quite welcome to take that one.
I would
always
love that
make
copy.
Another one.
Thank you so much. Temperature trouble. Oh, it's got the temperature compensation circuit stuff and how and why and Moritz Klein. Oh, you magical man. Tuning section, bedtime reading, if I've ever seen it.
So just for our listeners' benefit, I have passed Ben a printed copy of the...
Sorry, I got distracted and just said words.
instruction manual for the first kit, which is the oscillator.
Yes, indeed.
Doesn't have a bomb in it, so there's no bill of materials as such.
Ah.
So I think I can work out everything that's required.
Is that is this the full schematic right here?
Yeah, and I think it really gives all the values. It just doesn't really... You've
doesn't
got to
have
sit
the names of all the different bits
and
pieces.
So it can't just tick them off and go, yep. So all that I would have to get in to build one of those...
Oh, yeah, you're saying you might have it all kind of in the
would
towers.
Would be the potentiometers.
Wow, you are well-stocked. Not bad.
But everything else, it's pretty standard parts, to be really honest.
Wow, this is so cool. And what do you call the binding? Because it's not spiral-bound, it's that... wait, you've got the machine that does the punching.
Yes.
What? Wow. Tell me. I must know. What's it called?
I just think of them as a ring binder, but it's not. They're sort of rings and it binds them, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's a sort of...
Those sort of the springy plastic spirals, but not spirals.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's got a cover page and everything. That's amazing.
I print all my manuals off like that and bind them because it just makes more sense.
It does. Have you put a back page on it as well? You have. As I said before, extra, but in the best possible way. Yeah, so it says on the front to follow along at home with the breadboard, as I mentioned last episode. you can just get a pack of jumper wires, 2 9-volt batteries with clips, and you're ready to go. Obviously, you need the components, but that's kind of it. That's very exciting.
I mean, for you and I, essentially, we're more interested in the information within the kit rather than the kits per se.
Yeah, actually developing the understanding that will unlock, hopefully, some of the sort of black magic that hides behind these panels.
Well, I think I'm going to go through the course slowly. I'm certainly going to do the oscillator one that I've just handed to you and let it soak in.
Stuff like, so the oscillator and filters, I think, will be incredibly interesting. There's stuff like multiples, mixers and such, which, not that I know how they work, but they'd be much less fascinating, I think. But certainly useful to know, because just imagine if you really absorb all that knowledge and internalize it and have it at your disposal, you could design your own modules, but then if you know how the mixers work, you could have a little mixer in there. So if you wanted to make an addition to the oscillator module, so that you have a waveform mixer in there already. Because there's a lot of those oscillators that instead of having just individual outputs, you'll have multiple waveforms available at once. Like on the Juno 106. What do you know? I lied at the beginning of this episode. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'm very excited.
Yeah, as I said last week, a nice bit of bedtime reading.
Absolutely. Wonderful. That is most excellent. Before we get right to the end of the COD past, my favourite phrase, which still gets laughs sometimes from some people who haven't heard it before, I caught up with our friend James from the shop in the past. He used to work with us, an ex-colleague, and a good chap. We played some Tesseract, we're jamming on the guitars, played some Periphery, caught up, and one of our favourite bits to do, of course, is exchange the music that we've been finding and coming across since the last time we hung out. Now, I mentioned, I think last week, the Organ Freeman track that Telmo and I found. Potentially, no, I don't think I mentioned it, Ivory Iguana, which was a find from John Wilson, but I shall recommend for, I haven't even said the title of the segment, have I? For my miscellaneous multimedia recommendation, I shall select a track by Moray Pringle with Ollie Steele of the prog metal world, a tune called Sunday Lines. It is fusion. It goes a bit proggy, and there's some serious guitar playing on there, if that's the kind of stuff you like. There we go. Sunday Lines, Moray Pringle. What a name. Love it. He's reaching for a piece of paper. He's got his notes.
I'm prepped.
Whoa. Away he be.
Right, this week for my multimedia recommendation, as normal, it's YouTube.
Hooray!
Surprise, surprise. Quite a long time ago, last year, I recommended a channel called the B1M. I don't know if you recall that. It's a channel that focuses on large construction projects.
No bells
it's
at all.
Very much aimed...
Remind us all.
Possibly aimed at architects.
Right.
That type of thing. Or anyone that's interested in...
Yeah.
So they'll feature a skyscraper, its construction, how it's been constructed.
Right.
Sometimes they even go into the architectural software that's been used to design and do all the logistics and the scheduling for anything, because a construction project isn't just sort of building stuff. All the materials have to arrive exactly at the right time when they're needed, etc., etc. Anyway, it's quite interesting. They've also got a couple of sister channels, and one particular one that I have been watching, which was started by them a mere 7 months ago, is called Tomorrow's Build. Although it's similar to the B1M channel, which features construction, this also features construction, but more aspirational and future projects. So one of the videos I was watching recently was about a super large radio telescope which has been built on two continents simultaneously.
Oh.
The same telescope.
They're building two. They're not going to mash two halves together later, are they?
One part of it is in South Africa, and the other part of it is in Australia.
Aha, gotcha.
And they're both in what's described as very remote, very radio quiet parts of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And each is built out of a large array of smaller radio telescopes.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're most probably aware, they can kind of link up and become one unified...
Yeah.
Large telescope. So we're talking a radio telescope which can cover something like a third of the horizon of the planet.
Not half bad. Cool.
So that was quite interesting, and there are many other interesting videos of a similar ilk on this channel. So my recommendation for this week is the YouTube channel called Tomorrow's Build.
Lovely stuff. Well, listeners, thank you for joining in on the episode where I definitely didn't mention the Roland Juno 106 three times and deny all of them. Thank you so much, and we hope you tune in to 107. Have we got any 107s? I can't think of any musical 107s off the top of my head right now, but we'll catch you next week. Stay safe. Farewell.